we're going to kick things off with a very important issue, an issue that has been in the news for decades. We're going to have Thomas Burrell, president of the Black Farmers and Agriculturalists Association. And also, we're going to have Mr. Brown, Sylvester Brown, of the Black Heritage Society, talking about the black farmers and the class action lawsuit, and just about how their heirs, the farmers themselves and their heirs, what are they going to do about receiving the monies that President Barack Obama, he signed a law compensating black farmers for decades of discrimination by federal agriculture officials, and the farmers are still waiting for the money. So we're going to talk about that today. There's a deadline for which one has to file for the money. And we're going to talk about that today. Gentlemen, good morning and welcome to Sunday Morning Live on Magic 102.1.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
And Thomas Burrell, you're Thomas Burrell. Okay, very good. Well, welcome to Houston. You've been pretty busy all week, huh?
Thank you, Brother J. Thomas. And yes, indeed, we have. We've been here in the greater Houston area. We're the Black Farmers and Agriculturalists Association, making sure that many Texans and heirs here in the city of Houston participate in the largest civil rights lawsuits in the history of this country. As you amply stated, the government set aside after admitting that it had discriminated against African-American farmers, ranchers, and made monies available to them. However, to the extent that most of those individuals are now deceased and or incapacitated, Congress also made sure that their heirs, those who are living in cities like Houston, Atlanta, Los Angeles, unfortunately, Brother J. Thomas, those heirs were not aware that their rights were referenced.
Right. You know, that's interesting, too. You know, my uncle was a farmer in Michigan, in fact, a dairy farmer. And I remember a lot of the talk around the family about the issues and the problems, the challenges that he faced at that time. And I would imagine that, as I understand it, there are a lot of black farmers in the state of Texas who don't have a clue that this lawsuit was even filed and that there is money available to them. We're talking about, what, $1.2 billion at this point?
Well, that's one lawsuit.
Oh.
They had already paid out about $2 billion in what is called the first black farmers lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
And they set aside several billion dollars for a second lawsuit, billions for a third for Native Americans, Hispanic Americans, women. So there are basically five lawsuits right now.
You know, it's just amazing to me. You know, we talk about how was it that, well, first of all, let's give a little bit more information about who the Black Farmers and Agriculturalists Association is. Tell us a little about the organization.
Brother J. Thomas, we are an advocacy association.
Mm-hmm.
We advocate, we plead, we intercede, we try to vindicate, we lobby Congress, we make arguments in federal courts on behalf of the descendants of African-Americans, farmers, sharecroppers, landowners, and here again, the heirs of those individuals.
Mm-hmm.
We are responsible for, partly responsible for, the creation of these lawsuits. We're in court now intervening, trying to see if we can stay the clock again, get an extension, intervening, making arguments that these individuals, these heirs, due process and equal protections rights have been violated.
Mm-hmm.
There's a cruel hoax that has been perpetrated on these heirs. On the one hand, the government admits that it discriminated against their descendants, their ancestors. And on the other, Congress set aside these billions of dollars, but they did not notify the individuals that the money was there.
Yeah.
And if you use the phrase black farmers, not that we have to apologize for that,
mm-hmm.
but most heirs would not know that their rights were referenced. And therefore, they would assume, and rightly so, that it's not for us.
Right.
But Congress did something it had never done. It allowed an individual to give hearsay testimony for the benefit of an individual who may be deceased and may be incapacitated, and they roll the statute of limitation back.
Mm-hmm.
But the heir then would be the only individual to make a meritorious claim of discrimination on behalf of their deceased victim.
Now, the founder of the organization, John Boyd, he himself was a victim of discrimination, which is why he put the BFAA together in the first place, correct?
Well, John Boyd is one of, he's the president of one of several organizations.
Okay.
And there were several, there are about maybe six or seven African-American associations.
Okay.
Who are lobbying in various and different capacities. But I am the president of the Black Farmers and Agriculturalists Association.
Okay, so that's a different organization.
Yes.
Okay, so when was this organization founded and where is it based?
We were founded in 2003,
okay.
And we're based in Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay.
We are a federally chartered organization. We have several thousand members around the country. You made reference to Texas. Texas has the largest number of African-American farmers, landowners, sharecroppers, but receive the fewest amount of payouts.
Yeah.
We also have a large membership base in Los Angeles, California, and we probably have more Texans, as it were, in that chapter than we do here in Texas. For whatever reason, the word did not get out in Texas. As I said, there was a cruel hoax perpetrated against these individuals.
Oh,
but our association.
Like Juneteenth all over again.
Juneteenth here again. But yes, this association, the Black Farmers and Agriculturalists Association, is one of several other entities.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we do a little differently, though, because these are what's called contested litigations.
Mm-hmm.
This association is the only one, though, that has filed motions in court to intervene.
Okay, folks, if you'd like to get involved in the conversation, our phone number is 713-390-5102, 713-390-5102. Perhaps you're a black farmer, an heir of a descendant of a black farmer. Perhaps you want to know how you can file a claim. Give us a call, and perhaps we can assist you in getting the information that you need. Now, this past week, you've been, the Black Heritage Society has been accommodating you. How did the Black Heritage Society get involved?
Well, Jay, as you know, we are Black Heritage Society has existed for more than 40 years under the historically rich leadership of Ovid Duncantel,
mm-hmm.
who's a social activist, and have been so for 40 years, as I said.
Wow, time goes fast.
Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of folks probably don't know, but the Black Heritage Society are often involved in anything that has to do with the rights of others,
mm-hmm.
more specifically those in our community. We basically, the aspirations of Dr. Martin Luther King is what our organization is about.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to civil rights or those items or things that we may be available to us here in our community, we wanted to make sure that we have our eyes on those items. When we received the information about the Black Farmers Association, of course, that has everything to do with civil rights, and it has everything to do with the aspirations of the long-fought a struggle that we have often been in since our existence, 150 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought it would be an excellent and incredible opportunity to invite the Black Farmers and Agriculturalists Association here into town. So many who do not have any information, of course, this has not been information that our legislators has put out, that you've seen in the paper. As Mr. Burrell said, there are more black farmers in the state of Texas than there is in any of the other states.
And that's by itself is amazing. How is it that the government was able to discriminate against black farmers? And what was the process? I mean, obviously they needed monies, they needed loans, and it's my understanding that the government was unwilling to grant loans. The USDA was unwilling to grant loans, or they had discriminatory practice, or they were unable. The amount of loans that they were able to get were, if they were able to get loans, were much less than other folks. Just give us an idea of the pattern of the discrimination.
That's an excellent question. The question is so excellent. I think I'll yield to to Brother Burrell to answer that question. He's an expert at it, and he's been very intimate in the process. So why don't I go ahead and let Mr. Burrell answer that question for you.
Well, thank you again, Brother J. Michael. But we also want to say thanks to the
J. Thomas.
I'm sorry, Brother J. Thomas.
I like Michael. That's okay. Too.
Brother J. Thomas. We want to thank the Black Heritage Society again, and Brother Sylvester Brown and the members of that association, and the CWA Union Hall, which is located at 1730 Jefferson Street here in Houston, where we have been holding meetings and workshops, and we'll be there next Saturday as well. But when we talk about discrimination in business, agriculture is a business. What most people don't understand is Black farmers are probably the survivors of all economic development business. We have lost the hair care industry. We have lost African Americans in construction. We have lost African Americans in food stores, grocery chains. We're having difficulty getting credit. It is not unique to African American farmers. As a matter of fact, the fact that we are having this humongous lawsuit is a testimony to the, shall we say, tenacity and organizational prowess of African-American farmers. We have still survived. However, the Department of Agriculture, a government agency, engaged in systematic discriminatory practices. And when they did that, they violated a statute that says it is unlawful for any creditor to discriminate against any applicant during any phase. So therefore, the lawsuit is really not a farming lawsuit. It is a credit and trade lawsuit. What we maintain, our Brother C. Thomas, is interesting about this Black farmers lawsuit is it ought to be required reading for every African American or civil rights organization who may be involved in economic development. Because if we were able to get the largest government on the planet, who's represented by the largest law firm on the planet, which is the Department of Justice, then that speaks volumes about what this organization or these farmers and ranchers have achieved. Because if we then were able to solve the problem in terms of credit denial in agriculture, the statute is not limited to agriculture. Any banking institution, any credit institution, in housing, in the energy industry, this tool then should be a working model. But the government, more specifically, any business requires credit, trade, and commerce. What the government did is it denied credit to African-American farmers, and therefore their competitors were able then to take back, or what we call expropriate, the land that African Americans had acquired, as you amply stated, historically in 1910.
Yeah, so I guess if they lose it, it's on the auction block. They get it on for pennies.
Precisely.
On the dollar. And then, would you like to work for me?
Precisely.
Yeah. Let's go to line two. You're on Sunday Morning Live with Thomas Burrell of the Black Farmers Agriculturalist Association and Sylvester Brown of the Black Heritage Society. And whom are we talking to this morning?
You're talking to Lillian.
Lillian.
And I was born in Texas, raised in Texas, and we farmed and ranched and worked, hauled hay. And when it got time for me to go to college, there was no money. My father could not afford it. So I want to know, what can I do, or who do I call to find out about filing this lawsuit?
Go ahead. The lawsuit's already been filed, but it's right now it's filing a claim. Mr. Burrell, you want to?
Well, if she is close to Houston, we would like her to come to one of the workshops on next Saturday, which is going to be held at the CWA Union Hall, Local 6222, here again at 1730 Jefferson Street here in Houston. Or she can call our business, our office in Memphis, Tennessee, and they will also tell her where we will be located in other cities and areas around the greater Houston area. That telephone number in Memphis is 901-522-8880. More specifically, if she were to come to this workshop, we would help her fill out the initial filing papers or claim form to participate in the latter two lawsuits.
That's great.
Now, the black farmers' lawsuits, for all intents and purposes, are closed. There are two more opportunities, and they are the Hispanic and female farmers and ranchers lawsuit. Or if you are an heir of an African-American farmer, it is not limited to Hispanics and female. These are simply the last opportunities. And by the way, the deadline for these two will be May the 1st, less than 2 weeks. And that's one of the reasons we are here holding as many meetings as we can in Texas and in the greater Houston area to allow an opportunity for these heirs to file a claim.
Lillian?
What time does this seminar start next Saturday?
Thank you for asking that question. 10 o'clock a.m. until 2. Well, basically, I'm sorry. We revised that. It'll be from 10 o'clock to 8 o'clock in the evening.
Oh, boy.
So 10 a.m. to 8 o'clock in the evening. If you're there at that time, that'll give you an opportunity to participate in the workshop, to get the kind of information you'll need to move forward with your claim. And I would encourage you, along with any of your family members, friends, or whomever, okay, to get that information on to them, because as Mr. Burrell says, this opportunity expires on May 1st. What's interesting, we had Congressman Al Green, of course, who is a supporter of the project, to state that he was going back to Congress and he's going to do everything that he possibly could to see if they could extend it beyond May 1st.
Mm-hmm.
However, right now, it's May 1st. So I'll encourage you and all the other listeners to have your family members, friends, whomever you may know, to let them know if they have an interest and protecting their rights to file that claim. As Mr. Burrell says, the suit has already been settled.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to come and file your claim.
All right. Let's go to line one. You're on Sunday Morning Live on Magic 102.1. Who are we talking to?
Good morning. We're talking to Wanda.
Wanda, you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I do. I was wondering if this would consist of people that's owning land in Kendleton, Texas.
Well, it's not just it's not about owning the land. It's actually descendants or heirs of farmers.
Okay.
Yeah.
We are.
Well, if I might, it is a federal lawsuit, first and foremost. It is not limited to a state or a county. This lawsuit applies to all individuals in the 50 states of the United States and territories, to include Guam, Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands.
Mm-hmm.
It is a federal lawsuit, and it is a discrimination lawsuit. You didn't necessarily have to own land. You may have farmed, you may have owned land, attempted to lease land, attempted to own land. By virtue of the fact that the defendant admitted, the Department of Agriculture admitted that when African Americans would come to its many 3,700 counties or parishes in the 50 states, that its employees discriminated against these African Americans by denying them the opportunity to fill out an application.
Yeah, so it's kind of, it's almost like they walk into the bank and the bank would not give them an application.
Precisely.
Right.
And they violated the Equal Credit Opportunity Act. So whether they actually got the loan or whether they were farmers or ranchers, if they were discriminated against, and to the extent the government maintained that it didn't have any records, it didn't have any proof as to who it discriminated against, then the process was, the court came up with a process that says any individual who maintained that they indeed were a victim, or can file for a victim who may be deceased, or as an administrator, or for somebody who may be incarcerated or in the military, but who were otherwise the victim of discrimination before they were, shall we say, drafted into service by the
mm-hmm.
military
mm-hmm.
or into a state penal institution.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a discrimination lawsuit.
Yes. So it's very important that you talk with the family. Get more information. I know you've heard those family tales about your uncle who did this, and your grandfather and your great-grandfather. All of this information is very, very important. You do have a website, right?
Yes, we do.
And how can one get more information from your website?
www.m, like Mary,
mm-hmm.
Y like yellow,
mm-hmm.
B like Bob,
mm-hmm.
F like Frank, alikeappleagain.org or .com.
Okay, kind of like myhoustonmagic.com. It's mybfaa.
Precisely.
Okay, that's real simple. All right. That word agriculturalist, I have to get my mouth right for that one. But hey, this is very, very good information, and this is so very, very important, and it's so good that you've teamed up with the Black Heritage Society. They've been doing a lot of good work around here for many, many years. And these workshops, now, will they be continuing once we get to the next Saturday, the 27th? Are you planning to go forward? What's the next phase for the BFAA once we resolve these lawsuits?
The next phase here, again, we file a motion to intervene, mm-hmm. hopefully that we will get the extension through the help of Congress and or the courts. But the next phase, we will come back to Houston in June to help them to fill out their claims or meritorious claims. We help them to fill out what's called affidavits.
Okay.
Basically, an applicant or a claimant will not go before a judge. These are class action lawsuits. You don't have to go to court. However, a judge and or an adjudicator will make a decision based on whether or not that individual answered certain basic questions. What we're doing here, Brother Jay Thomas, this week is to help them, for the lack of a better phrase, get their foot in the door.
Okay.
Then we're going to circle back and help them make the argument or particularize their allegations.
Okay.
And we will start to do that in June. But they must already be in the system in order to make that other argument.
Okay, folks, this is very, very important. Right now, the deadline to get your paperwork in is May 1st. The event is going to be at the CWA Union Hall, Local 6222, 1730 Jefferson. That's next Saturday from 10 to 8 o'clock in the evening. So you got all day. You got plenty of time to make some plans, at least to get more information, at least to be informed, even if you yourself, even if no one in your family has a necessary claim. I think this is just good information to have to be able to pass on to other folks. Don't you think so?
Absolutely, because it would be in vain to squander an opportunity to put in a claim when there is a very, very small hurdle, okay, to get over.
Right.
The fight have already been fought and won.
Yeah.
You know, now it's time for the recipients, okay,
absolutely,
to step forward and file a claim. So, If you don't file a claim, you don't get anything.
And then, of course, the amount that's going to be dispersed is going to be based on how many people submit claims, I would imagine, over time. How's that going to work?
Well, no. Why don't I go ahead? Mr. Burrell did philosophized the difference in the 70. He used the analogy of the 7-Eleven store versus the Walmart store shopping. So why don't you go ahead?
In other words, there would be a minimum payment of $50,000 per successful claim.
Well, that's the number.
We need to use $50,000 per claim. It can be more, but at a minimum, $50,000.
Okay, so it's important to get this information. And of course, we know the event is April 27th, next Saturday at the CWA Union Hall. But in case folks would like to get in touch with the Black Heritage Society, what's your information, Mr. Brown?
Yeah, our phone number is 713-236-1700 or 713-651-9900.
And your website?
And our website is blackheritagesociety.org. That's www.blackheritagesociety.org.
And for more information on the Black Farmers and Heirs class action lawsuit, you can log on to mybfaa.org or .com. Mr. Burrell, president of the BFAA, want to thank you for being a part of the program this morning. And Mr. Brown from the Black Heritage Society, thank you both very, very much. We appreciate all the work that you've been doing, and we wish you much success as you continue to serve the community.
We'd like to thank you for having us.
Thank you, sir, for having us on.